This afternoon, of course, with John and Sean Quinn landing yet another sprint pot at Goodwood. JM Jungle making every inch of the running. God knows why a big old journey down from Malton all the way down to the South Coast seems to suit those Quinn horses, but it does, and it's another big prize on the downs. Before that, a run 2 days ago over 7 furlongs got Ross Cole in prepped and primed for the Golden Mile, and he gave David O'Mara a very nice winner in a race they've been trying to win for a while. The horse watchers, of course, and if you were watching horses today, you were probably most impressed by Fox Legacy absolutely dotting up in the 9 furlong conditions race of all things. But the John Smith's Cup to Goodwood, where next for Andrew Balding's Charge. Much more to talk about as well. And then, of course, possibly the toughest races of the week, on Saturday, albeit we'll be, I think all of us, or the vast majority of us, hoping that it's another Yorkshire trainer who takes home a big pot as we look at the Stewards Cup on Saturday. But as I said, I'm Ross Briley, and I'm joined once again in the studio by Paul Keighley. claiming 7 tonight?
They don't have saunas anymore, do they? I mean, I could have done with one of them, could I?
You put up a bit of overweight, have you?
Another 20 minutes?
Yeah.
would have suited me well, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I think you would have won. They say...
I reckon if you sewed both those jackets together, they still wouldn't have fitted me.
If you sewed both those jackets together, I'm not sure you'd be able to register those silks in the BHA. They'd be so psychedelic. But it's not easy being a jockey. It's not easy being a jockey at Goodwood, that's for sure.
Absolutely. No, it isn't. It isn't. And there's some strange decisions, strange rides. You've got Cosmic Year getting in trouble in a four-runner race. Mm-hmm. I mean, Goodwood's is one of the places where that can happen. I mean, his finishing effort when he did get clear wasn't suggest that he actually doesn't want to know anymore. Well, himself, oh God, that's what I got the impression from him.
Possibly. My immediate thought after that was getting back down to 7. Mm. Perhaps. I mean, he's apart from that defeat in France, he's 3 from 3 on good ground or all weather over 7.
Yeah,
so
it could be just a 7 furlong Welsh, yeah.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, could be right.
And I was saying it's tough for jockeys at Goodwood, unless your name is Usher Murphy, of course.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, he's been absolutely riding out of his skin, hasn't he? 3 good winners. Did very, very well today. Fox Legacy was very, very impressive, wasn't it?
Well, and again, I mean, credit to Usher Murphy today, but also credit to PJ McDonald at York, because both very similar rides, wide draws, tracked over, sat on the pace. And when you do it like that on a good horse, it looks easy, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So, and I was going to say, it really warms the cockles to see the Quins get a big winner, but maybe not your cockles.
Not mine necessarily. I'm pleased for the owners. I actually met them last year at Goodwood.
Of course, they were there on Saturday,
people,
weren't they?
Yeah, lovely people. So I'm delighted for them. But, you know, the one place you can bang out and go from the off is Goodwood, isn't it? And JM Jungle did that.
Yeah.
And I back She's Quality, who's gone bang really fast every time this year and comes to the one course where you can get away with doing that and is held up. And, you know, I mean, you just could not have believed that any horse would finish second and be a fast finishing second. You wouldn't have had her down for that, would you?
No, absolutely. Like,
you know, so I didn't understand it. So yeah, wasn't the happiest man in the world.
No, but that is. I mean, this is the joy of sprints, though, isn't it? I mean, JM Jungle. How many times has that horse been collared by something coming down the other part of the track?
Love him, great, and he was a handicapper earlier on this year. He's won one of the biggest sprints in Britain now.
And they're going to have JM Jungle and American Affair the rematch in the Nunthorpe, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, you'd imagine so. Yeah, from that handicap.
Yeah. Keith Melrose, who was in the studio a couple of nights ago and has quite rightly chosen to go home to try and get some work done up in Huddersfield. What did you think of today's action, Keith?
JM Jungle is a horse that I love, but I've started getting on the wrong side of him this year. You know, I thought he was exactly the type for the dash, but because he'd run the week before at York, didn't back him in the dash. And I said to Graham and Robbie yesterday, you know, I looked at this King George V race and said, the amount of times I back horses like JM Jungle for this race, thinking, you know, they've got a bit to find, but it's Goodwood, they're dead fast. It never comes off, never again. And what's just happened? Mm. One of the most likeable horses, a horse of backloads, has turned out and won the King George V. I'm delighted for them. And, you know, we talk about the sprint division and how moderate it is, but the upside of it is you can get horses like American Affair and JM Jungle going very quickly from handicaps into the top races. Mm. And we keep trailing this, but we think we might be seeing another.
Yes, well, yeah, exactly, yeah, and we'll get to that very shortly. But John and Sean Quinn before this week, by the way, at Glorious Goodwood, 11 winners from 41 runners with sprinters at Goodwood. So, yeah, you're looking at a 25% strike rate. And again, I don't know if... I was trying to work out... obviously, you know, half our job, Keith, is trying to work out why things happen. Predict what's going to happen, then work out why it's happened after it's happened. But I don't know if it's because you've got your northern... quirky undulating tracks that there's a lot more in Yorkshire. I feel I imagine your Beverleys and your Hamiltons. Sprinters up north seem to learn something new every time they go to a different track, and then maybe they come to Goodwood and think, God, this is fine. We've tried everything up north.
Possibly so. Is it? I mean, is Thirsk be the track in the north that most resembles Goodwood in the straight courses? And I seem to remember some of the horses the Quins have sent down that have won at Goodwood sort of started off their winning at Thirsk, if I remember right. That's just something I've remembered off the top of my head right now, so it might be nonsense. But, you know, you do get these northern tracks. I mean, the only good horses they get in those northern yards, because they don't get the big heritage owners, tends to be sprinters. A lot of these northern tracks are... drag racing tracks like Goodwood is.
Well, and fair, but look, this is the thing. Look, after you saw Kirat the other day, it's been a big surprise, but from a family that Judmont have been breeding from for decades, and even Whirl yesterday, you know, we were saying that the Grand Grand Dam or whatever was bought in 1986 or something. So, you know, it is the only division where you can possibly find a chink of light if you want a group winner and you haven't been in the game for 80 years.
Well, absolutely. But it's a funny one, isn't it? We get a lot of complaints about how the money gets spent on sprinters and how sprint sires that aren't necessarily that good command more money than you'd think. But at the same time, we are still best in Britain at these middle distance types. But the people that hoard all the toys when it comes to those divisions are Judmont, Godolphin, Coolmore, etc. The sprint division, yes, it's not very good, but it's very egalitarian, and that's what we're seeing.
All right. Right, we'll have a look at Saturday in a second. But remember, we are live and interactive, so please do get in touch on the chat and like the stream if you haven't done so already. Destiny Sounds, Pure Blood, Washwater, Craig Ruddock, Mappers 64, Rob Dixon, Romping Home, and plenty of others. Evening Lads, what an absolute blinder by JM Jungle, says Romping Home. The Mighty Gomez says comedian / quizmaster Ross, open brackets Bob Monkhouse, is the only one of the panel to give a winner this week. That can't be true, can it? Can it? I don't know. We'll see.
I think it might be. I haven't. I never gave any in the first 2 days, or the third day.
No, fair enough. I'm certain. I don't know. I feel like every time Zavattieri wins, I just think of Keith's smiling face there. So, but that was Newmarket, strictly, to be fair. What else have we got? Darren Walker says a shocking ride by Ross there, and Neil says definitely lame whatever Keels is riding. So
lame.
Yeah, fair enough. And as far the rest, anything else here? Mike Doody says, hi, it's Fruity Metcalf here, a candidate for the best name of the night. But Mike, unfortunately, you forgot to change your screen name correctly there, so I don't know what's going on at home. But hey, look, it's all fun and games. 5 days of Glorious Goodwood is enough to send anyone loopy, isn't it? So let's see if we can find a winner or three on Saturday. Actually, to be fair, shout out to the only person who definitely found a winner or four today is producer Ben, who came in and said that he was backing four horses today and they all won. And I'm pretty sure he must be the only person from Land's End to John O'Groats to have found four winners in a multi today. So well done to producer Ben. He'll be in this studio on his own for York. Right, Glorious Stakes then, first race of Saturday. Is a group three over a mile and a half with some old friends and possibly some new friends as well. But Mount Atlas is an absentee here, and it's Al Arzi at the age of 8 to 6-4 to win this again for the second year on the bounce. Maidan is 4-1, Arabian Crown is 4-1, Candleford is 9-2, Ambiente Friendly is 6-1, and Raja Raja is 40-1 at the outsider of the bunch. But hey, David Simcock, Jamie Spencer, rated 92 in a group three, is 40-1. And I don't know, maybe Kirat backers might be pulling up some of their winners with winnings with one of those. But Al Arzi, a horse. You know what, Keels? For some reason, on my YouTube algorithm the other day, it brought up a What a Shout from 5 years ago. and it was... Glorious Goodwood, and it was you and Dave Orton previewing the Gordon Stakes from 2020.
Yeah, he was tailed, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I clicked on it, and you went, oh, and I just, I out of interest, why is it promoting this? And I clicked on it, and it was you going, I like Alize, I like him, but he's a good horse, I'm not sure this trackle suit. And that was 5 years ago. What's changed since?
Absolutely no idea. Obviously, it wasn't the track then, was he? He was last, wasn't he then?
He was.
And then last year, I actually thought the same, and I thought, well, he's, you know, he's short enough. He drifted a little bit, went out to 3-1, and he absolutely cruised through the race, won pretty easily. I don't know, I think it really depends on what side of the bed he gets out of, to be honest. He has got, I think it's like a 50% strike rate in group threes. I think he's won something like 8 from 16 or something like that. Like, yeah. You know, and you know, he's been an incredibly good, an incredibly good horse for connections, but he's got a £3 penalty. I don't get excited about 6-4, to be honest. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins. He's one of those, I always think he has to win on the bridle a little bit, and there are, you know, a few four-year-olds that might make him fight.
When he won last year, either on the bridle or win without really knowing his won.
Yeah,
he scooted smuggled up the rail,
didn't he? Yeah. So, you know, if it's a little bit different and he might have to fight, I wouldn't be 100% certain, but obviously it wouldn't surprise me if he wins. I think he's the most likely winner. I'm going to take a chance on the gelding operation making Ambiente Friendly behave himself. Because if he settles and returns to last year's Derby second, Irish Derby third, he'd have a right chance in this race, wouldn't he? I mean, he's got to do that. And he just doesn't settle, does he? Like, you know, and that's a bit of a problem. But James Owen is absolutely flying at the moment. Yeah. And that's what interests me. I mean, he had 18 horses finishing the top two in the last 2 weeks of July. And he had three runners today, including the first of 14 and a second of 13 at Goodwood. The second was at Goodwood anyway. So, and obviously, Wimbledon Hawkeye ran an absolute blinder, despite being keen.
Yeah,
and doing his normal.
A winner in the Racing League last night, in front to a miles clear.
Yeah. So they're all just running really, really well. So I thought I'd give him a chance.
Yeah. He's one of those horses, isn't he? That it's quite easy to sort of forget how good he was, and that was only 12 months ago. It's still early days for him.
Yeah, obviously he's had three goes for Owen, and none of them have been brilliant. But you know, he's still been some way below the form he showed for James Fanshawe as a three-year-old. But if the gelding operation has worked, and given how good the stable form is at the moment, I'm going to take a chance. He can win this, you know, at his best. That's the thing.
Yeah. Fair enough. Keith Alazi, an 8-year-old, that's 6-4, has to be kidded into it, drawn out wide in a small field. This could go either way, but it could also be one of those horses where we all try and take him on and the class act wins. But which side of the fence are you on?
Well, it was a tough... I was looking through this race and think my decision here is ultimately which of these is least gone at the game. And the answer might be 8-year-old Alazi, who's never been straightforward, which I think tells you an awful lot. He probably is the likeliest winner. I spent longer than I should have on the rag Raja Raja than I should have because of my misgivings about just about everything else in the field. I'm not putting up Ambiente Friendly, but my case isn't all that far away from Keels, is because I thought the one that might yet have something to give was Arabian Crown, who was gelded before his last run when he ran in a Princess of Wales at the July meeting. He travelled pretty well through that race. He'd been gelded in a couple of months that he'd had off since then, so there's a good chance he might come on for that run. And obviously he was a very classy horse last year, looked like he was going to be Derby sort and everything. So, in a race where they could all be has-beens, they could all be bums, there's a chance that Arabian Crown maybe isn't to the same extent. I've got more excuses for him than I would have for a lot of the rest. But, you know, I'm not necessarily going to get tucked into any because it really is a race full of horses that might all have their best days behind them.
Yeah, fair enough. The one thing I thought when I looked at this race is hold up horse, slowly away, Candleford, hold up horse, slowly away. Now, Candleford seems to have transformed himself in the past 12 months to be a slightly more prominent runner. Is there a possibility from box one he could hug that rail and nick it, Keith?
I mean, there has to be, with the way the sort of conditions are. But he's another one that, like, what has he shown as he's shown, I mean, he's run at Beverly, but the RPR that day was 100. You know, where, yeah, look, the thing is, you can make a, the thing with them all being has-beens, you can make a case for all of them. I've just not seen much there at all. And you know, it's all about trying to balance which memory of decent forms the most recent, which is why I've come down an Arabian Crown. But I think the more you dig down that market, the further back you're having to dig and the more excuses you're having to make. But yeah, the tactical angle on Candleford really is, it really is there to be seen. But, you know, as I say, it's a race where, God, you wouldn't trust any of these to, you know, to look after your kids, would you?
No, they'd have to create some first, but fair play to them. Yeah, based on some of the comments from the chat earlier on from that opening video, I'm not sure that's going to happen. But anyway, Arabian Crown is good, but won't make this distance, says Alex Wilco. And Tommy Daniel says Al-Azi's the sort of monkey who wins when he's not fancied and gets beat when he's favourite, which is fair enough. And this race has got out of the play spot with the third and the fourth written all over it, doesn't it? It is the second race on the card, the 155, that might attract a little bit more interest from the panel, because we've got a 4-1 favourite in a 14-runner handicap and loads and loads and loads of unexposed horses coming into this in good nick. A lot of them off good runs at Royal Ascot in particular. French Duke ran okay at Royal Ascot, but obviously has a course form that brings him right into it, and he's 4-1 favourite. Sam Hawkins is 5-1. Aeronautic is 13-2. Dancing in Paris is 9s. Master Builder 9s. Subsequent 10s. Duraji 10s. Feigning Madness is 10s. And then loads of others, including Wonder Legend, who was disappointing, but that was in Group 1, of course, in the Gold Cup. And Ascot, Artistic Star, who still has not too many miles on the clock, and the likes of Stress Free, and also Barnso, who was one of two horses that went into my tracker after that run last time out, Keith, behind French Master, and the other one was Aeronautic in that race. Actually, no, that was three. Endless Victory was the other one, who got done on the line at Newmarket. So, look, loads of form lines coming into this, but unsurprisingly, contractually obliged to have the Wathnan horse as favourite.
Well, yeah, it does seem a little bit like that, doesn't it? They are extremely popular. In fact, a little bit of inside track here. We know that news pieces that centre on Wathnan on the Racing Post website just always fly. There seems to be a real fascination with that operation. Mm-hmm. They're just very popular, and you know, they buy very good horses, and they're a bit of a new force when we've had 30 years of Godolphin and Judmont and Coolmore, like we've talked about. So maybe some of that's behind it. And French Duke's form really does stand out, and he's got the course form as well, hasn't he? So he makes sense as a logical favourite. So I'm not interested at 4-1 in a race this strong, to be honest. And in fact, I thought you could make cases right the way down the field here.
Take it away, Mr. Melrose. Make a case. In fact, I'll give you two. You've got two cases. You've got the premium option at Ryanair, mate. Two cases.
And yeah, as long as you fit in the little thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to weigh them at the end and then charge you 50 quid for no reason. But you've got two cases to make.
Right. I'm going to stick. Tell you what, mate. Remember all the stuff we said earlier about James Owen? Because Hallelujah You is the one I've mainly got my eye on here. He sort of doesn't deserve to win a handicap, really, in a lot of ways, because after winning at Thirsk in May, they went to Royal Ascot and ran in the Queen's Vase. And yeah, he finished really 2¼ length sixth, but he went up £21 in the weights for that, for finishing sixth. But then, you know, he finished well behind Scandinavia. He was one of the only horses that actually tried to race Scandinavia in the Bahrain Trophy, and he sort of paid for that. But, you know, he's a horse that, in that win at Thirsk before he went to Royal Ascot, you know, he looked like he was just going to keep improving and he could win a few more handicaps. They chose to fast track him with the Group 2 instead. He actually acquitted himself really well, to the point that you actually think he's still got a chance off this mark if he can build on that. I thought, and with the way the yard's going and all that sort of carry on, I was so surprised he was that far down in the betting. You know, it's a competitive race and I can see all that, but he's basically the rag of the lot, and that does not necessarily tally with what he's shown, because despite some fairly questionable placement, I mean, I don't know how much he got for sixth in the Queen's Vase, but I think you could have won a couple of handicaps in decent tracks and got a bit more. He still is interesting off 101.
Tell us the name of your second case, just because I know that Kiehl's agrees with you on that one, so I'm just going to make sure you're not going to both tip the same horses.
Well, I mean, he was the one I wanted to
talk
about.
It's fine. If you've only got one case, that's fine. You've paid for the fast track option. You get straight to the front of the queue. You get to get your seat the first time, but we'll take off on the plane together. So, hallelujah, you for Keith.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and for me too. Yeah, everything Keith said, and look, we all know that £10 wait for age is a big bonus for 3-year-olds in middle distance and staying handicaps at this time of year. Everyone will tell you that. There's been only 1 3-year-old managed to get into this race in the last 10 years. That was last year's winner, Align the Stars. So, you know, and yes, he got beat 13 lengths last time, but there's a world of difference between running against horses like Scandinavia, who's a little better than even money to win the St. Ledger off levels, and getting £10 weight for age from a load of handicappers in the 90s. And like Keith said, he did try and race a very fast stayer. And, I think he's a proper stayer himself. And, you know, with a more considered ride, he can probably run up to that Queen's Vase form rather than the last form. So, yeah, I think he's got a big chance. Mm. With the stable form, I thought, you know, he just shouldn't be that price.
That's 27 years, by the way.
Go on.
Just randomly.
That's 27?
Just the last 27 years.
Yeah, I wonder what site you're using for that.
You know, the old 27-year trend website. Sorry, 28 years. Last 28 years, 15 3-year-olds have won in this, and three of them have won. So 20% strike rate for 3-year-olds if you go back to 1997, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, right, not bad, okay. Is it?
Yeah, considering they represent
5%. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the 7% strike rate for 4-year-olds, 9% strike rate for 5-year-olds, 8% for 6-year-olds, 20% for 3-year-olds. But it's all right. Yeah. It's not too bad at all.
No, not bad at all. No, I'm sure it's the wrong price. So, yeah, I like that angle. And like Keith said, you could literally make a case for everything in this race.
Yeah,
I could, you know, I can certainly see French Duke if he settles. If he doesn't settle, he might not stay.
Yeah,
he looks like he'll stay, and he may well improve from Ascot because that was his first run of the season. But he does race a bit keenly sometimes. So
you've
anyway,
backed another one, haven't you?
I have backed another one. Artistic Star again, another outsider, another horse with good back form. I think he was fourth in the Gordon Stakes here a couple of years ago, placed in the King Edward VII, and he ran in the Derby, and not really up to that, but he's been going to handicap and he's creeping down the weights, and he's run quite well a couple of times this year. Fought a Story horse at Newmarket in May, was a good run. I think the three who finished ahead of him were all still higher in the handicap now than they were then.
When he was given at least a stone.
To all of them as well, yeah. So it was a good run. He didn't show anything over 2.5 mile in the Ascot Stakes, but I'd write that one off, and he was fine next time, just got nutted by an Enterprise who had been running in a four-runner race at Salisbury. So I think he's got the ability, and again, Rafe Beckett, he's now had four winners of three races at Goodwood this week.
Yeah, true,
So he's flying, and hopefully those two against the field. But honestly, I could put a few in this. Daraji's interesting.
Well, I was gonna say,
really shown that much, but Ryan Moore for Dermot Weld on his first runner at Goodwood since 2009, I think it is. I think he's only ever had four, and one of them won. Couldn't tell you what that was because it's that long ago.
I can probably go back that long. Let's have a look. What have we got? Okay, let's have a look. Glorious Goodwood.
No, it's just that
good telly, isn't it?
So I'm assuming it might be a Glorious Goodwood, but he might have run it at another meeting altogether.
You're right. It could have been just. He wouldn't have sent him on over. Maybe.
You never know.
Let's have a look. All right, just normal Goodwood then. This is Behind the Curtain. Under pressure, trying to click a box.
Oh, I thought you were saying it was. I thought it was called Behind the Curtain.
No.
I thought it was called Behind the Curtain as well.
I can only go back to 2009. He's only had one runner in 2009.
No, that's his first runner since 2009.
Oh, right. Since 2009,
In lifetime, I think he's only had four.
His runner in 2009 was an, I can't pronounce it. It's clearly Gaelic. It's a Gaelic word. Swalchi, perhaps. Swalchi. S-U-A. Sorry, I'm so sorry for anyone.
I'm sure we're boring people now.
We're really boring people. But anyway, she was centre favourite for the Lily Langtry Stakes. She was beaten into fifth. So let's hope Daraji does a bit better.
But not as well as the two I've backed.
Not as well as the two I've backed.
I'll tell you what, Ross, I'm glad you didn't press me on my second one and make me twist my arm on it, because I would have talked about Artistic Star.
No. Well, see, that's why I was checking. That's why I was checking, because I could feel it. I could feel it in my waters. But yeah, look, I thought that, like I said, again, same with Coppell the other day, watching those, I mean, we talked about it on the flat pack a couple of years ago, Keith, you know, your horses that you catch right at Royal Ascot, Next time out at big festivals, Aeronautic got in all sorts of a muddle and got stuck down the inside and finished fifth behind French Master. And Barnzo turned into the home straight for Natalia Lepini and was... ran an absolute blinder, finished fourth, got swamped late on. But
I backed it then. I think I tipped it about Ascot.
I thought it was a big run. My immediate thought was, oh, that'll run in an Ebor. Mm. So, you know, I think those are the two ones from that good race I thought that I took out of it. So I'll just be backing those two. As we go for the Lily Langtree Stakes next, just checking, Dermot Weld hasn't got a runner in this. Term of Endearment is 3-1. Goody Two Shoes 100-30. Wardar is 11-2. Sueno is 6-1. Danielle 6-1. Serenity Prayer 8. Royal Entry 16s. Alonzi is 20-1. And Oxford Comma, if Oxford Comma runs after finishing an eye catching third today over 2.5 miles, is the outsider of the bunch. But Term of Endearment, fairly dotted up in this last year, but won very, very comfortably indeed, Keels. That was, of course.
She did.
For our previous connections, she's been sold for 1.3 million quid since, and she's been beaten in a Group 2, beaten in a Group 3, and beaten in a listed race. So, do you think they've kept the receipt?
Might have done. She could still win this, though, can't she? And I think, I don't think it's a, you know what I mean, the best Group 2 ever run at Goodwood for this race, I don't think. And she's got a right chance. There are good horses against her, obviously, and the one I like the most is Danielle. Because I think if she'd had a run and shown her form this season, she'd be a lot shorter than she is. I think that's probably ground related because she disappointed in the summer. I think it was Newmarket last year, and then didn't come back till the autumn, and then ran two good seconds on soft ground. One to Max Vega at Newbury, and the other one to she was a beaten favourite at Doncaster, but the winner was Strange.
Yep,
who is now rated 114. Yeah. So it was no real disgrace getting beat by her. And I thought, you know, she's one of the best fillies in the race. I thought, well, the prices, I prefer her. I mean, it'd be quite good to see Goody Two Shoes winning. I mean, there won't be many horses that were getting beaten at 66-1 in mare's chases in January, running in a Group 2 at Goodwood in the summer and being almost favourite. By the way, very strange, but she keeps on winning.
Yeah, was it you that was saying, who was saying about, was it, maybe it was you, Keith, about Joseph O'Brien? He's run 170 flat horses this calendar year.
Oh, definitely got the biggest yard of any trainer. Biggest yard of any trainer in either Britain or Ireland.
170 flat horses?
Yeah.
That's insane. And now he's even bringing the jumpers onto the level and the flat horse over the jumpers as well. Mm. What I like about her is she just keeps winning, doesn't she? Mm. And she just does enough. But she's got that fantastic talent of sort of looking like she's going through the gears. She's going through, oh, is she in trouble? Mm. And then, no, she's won again. Yeah. And then you think the next time and she wins again. That's the kind of horse that wins these sort of races, I think.
Yeah, that's incredible. She's probably got the same sort of rating on a flat as she has over fences.
yeah, true. Probably not far off. Weirdly enough, though, Keith, William Buick yet to have a winner this week.
Is he really? I mean, it's not a week where Godolphin tend to be all that busy normally, isn't it? I assume it's to do with that, but yeah.
He had four last year, but he basically only won. This is only the 2023 he didn't have a winner. In the last, 15 years, he's always ridden. He's never had a blank year at Glorious Goodwood. So.
Yeah. It's an interesting one, that. But, you get, 30 rides and... How likely is it you're going to in these races this competitively? Because these big jockeys, they have like 25% strike rate through the season, but at the big tracks, it's back down to 15. You know, so a run of that is they're going to happen sometimes. I don't think I've necessarily caught him riding badly at any point particularly, but yeah. So it's just one of those, I think.
Yeah. What did you think of the Lily Langtree Stakes?
There's a horse in here that I think is going to win a big race before the season's out. I'm not sure if it's today or not, but I'll probably at the prices have a bit on her just in case it is today, and that's Sueno, who just looks like the sort of horse that the Gosdens bring along slowly, slowly. The sort of horse that goes on to win like the fillies and mares on Champions Day.
Yeah.
Not got anywhere near the bottom of her yet, I don't think. You know, she only debuted last October and she's only had 5 runs in her life. And even at Newmarket last time when she ran, she just looked like a horse that is still learning a bit, and they're quite happy to let her learn in her own time. Travelled really well at Newmarket, wasn't given an unduly hard time once it was clear she wasn't winning that race. And yeah, maybe this is a run too soon, but she's got two half siblings that both won the same mile six handicap at the Ledger meeting. You know, it's a sort of middle distance staying, softish ground autumn pedigree that she's got. I think this, and we're just getting to the time where she's going to start taking off. This may be a run or two too soon, but yeah, I'll keep watching for her in these big autumn festivals because I think Sueno's got a lot more to come.
All right, Sueno it is then. Was it Journey that won for the same connections, the fillies in Maz a few years ago after improving through the ranks?
Yes.
So what else have we got? This race is nowhere near proper Group 2 status, says Tommy Daniels.
Agreed.
Which is, yeah, fair enough. And Darren Walker says, goody two-shoes, 7-2 for me on a roll in Ireland this year. Right, okay. Let's crack on then, shall we? Because we have 28 runners to rattle through in the Stewards' Cup, albeit I'm pretty sure that what's hearing in the office earlier on, there's only going to be one horse tipped up by everyone at this race, probably going to go off 6-4. Hammer the Hammer is 11-2 favourite. Purasangue is 15-2. El Monjet 8-1. Get It, last year's winner, is 8-1. Cersei 10-1. Completely Random 11. Stripe Red 14s. Jacajaro 14s. And you've also got the likes of Anaf back in a handicap. Apollo 1. Again, a proper heartwarming win that would be. Two Tribes, who beat Classic at Ascot last time out. You've got Jordan Electrics again, Goldie and Mulrennan. Surely a prep for York, you would think. Corker. We've got Duckegg Impresario Orazio, who surely at some point is going to bounce back. And then a few others at bigger prices as well, in which one I think could run quite well. And that is Comanche Falls at 28-1, who is, of course, unbeaten in two runs in the Stewards' Cup and is down to a mark of 98, and it's 28-1. Unbelievable stuff.
I backed him at Hamilton last time. I was disappointed.
Yeah, but was it not just, you know, we're coming back here off a nice mark?
Well, they did that with him when he was winning Stewards' Cups and they thought they had all the time in the world. He's eight now. But I'm a bad one, for when a horse has wronged me and I don't see a reason for it, I get a beam of bonnet about it. So maybe don't listen to me about Comanche Falls. I think he might actually be the top rated on the Smartview stats because, you know, he's got that superb course record. And obviously he's Michael Dodds and Conor Beasley both have excellent course records as well, yeah. Mostly because of his horse.
Well, yeah, but look, we've got a 7-year-old who won the race last year at 8-1, and we've got an 8-year-old who's run the race twice at 28-1. So, to my eyes, that just looks a bit big to me. But anyway, he's an old friend. Well, he's not an old friend, actually, because I smashed Great Ambassador in this race when he came and chinned him. So he's not an old friend. He's actually an old enemy. So I'm hoping that he becomes an old friend. But do you want to take a sentence each, guys, to tell us why Hammer the Hammer is going to hammer the field? I don't know. You give us one case, Keith. You give us a line, and I'll go to Keels.
Well, this horse, it's Southall when he won back in April. Two furlongs out, I thought this might win the Holyrood House, and by the line, I thought he might win the Commonwealth Cup. Just screamed group horse from that day onward. At Chester, he came from the sort of stall where half the horses get pulled out when they get drawn that wide, and he sloshed in, and then he went and ran at Ascot. And you know what? I think if they'd made more use of him at Ascot, he'd have won. So he's just a horse that's going to end up in group races. He's very, very fast. And I think he's going to end up, I think four is going to end up being a good stall to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. And you say you'd, was it you that was saying you backed him for the Sprint Cup just in case?
Yeah, I backed him for the Sprint Cup with 66s, yeah, because as we've seen, there's nothing between the handicappers and the top sprinters, especially the sprinters that are improving, like JM Jungle's done.
Yeah.
And yeah, okay, it's a bit of a stab at this stage, but that's where we'll run next, if he wins this.
Yeah.
Cheers for writing that, Keels, because I followed you in.
Yeah.
There you go. And if,
I just see the point of it. Now we could all be wrong, and he could pull out the stalls and do nothing. But he just looks like a horse that's going places, doesn't he? And that Palace at Holyrood House. I mean, Adrestia won the race. She's been fourth in a Group 3 since and got beaten nose earlier on this week off an £8 higher mark and she was running there. He was giving her £11. She's going to be not far off 100 herself now. So where does that put him? You know, he's only £4 higher than Ascot. And I, like Keith, think this is going to be the right side to be on. Basically, the stand side's had a battering all week. And I think it showed today nobody wanted to be there. And yes, okay, they've used up the far side a little bit, but the first three furlongs of the far side has only been raced on today, basically. And it's just fresher ground.
The problem, of course, is that the jockeys still have to go over there. And that's always the issue.
Yeah, but I mean, Tom Eaves is not going to not go over there.
No, I mean, you assume so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and he's so fast out of the traps.
Yeah.
He's not going to get in any trouble, is he?
No.
Like, you know what I mean?
The interesting thing here is what happens in the middle, because you've not got much pace from about sort of the low teens until the mid-20s. And it's where those horses drawn in sort of 10 to 12 that have got a bit of pace go. If they choose to join the far side, then basically on the near side, you've only got Getter and Apollo 1.
Well, I put it to you, Keith, that there isn't much pace full stop, is there? And we've seen a Wokingham nicked by Getter, we've seen a Stewards Cup nicked by Getter. I mean, to my eyes, they're the only two 100% obvious front runners, aren't they?
What, Hammer the Hammer and Getter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And Getter, but you know what, there's 28 horses in here. The one that I would have my life on, knowing what they were going to do, is Getter. He's going to go for that rail and he's just going to go to hell with this and go for broke, you know, because he has won both his Wokingham and his Stewards Cup pretty much at the start. He's one of the best starters I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He just pings the lids time after time after time. And in sprints like this, that 0-60 matters so much. I think it won GM Jungle the King George V today, if you watch. Yep. He gets up to top speed faster than anything else. And I think it won in the race in the end.
Well, so
it won, exactly like that.
Nana Sparkle, that race earlier the other day, the 3-year-olds yesterday, that was all early pace.
Do you remember the last time when there was a load of soft ground early in the week at Goodwood, 2017?
Nope.
There was a load of soft ground early on at Goodwood.
Yep.
And in the Stewards' Cup, even though it was still soft, the entire field went over to the far side. Lars Lutt de Luck, who was drawn in stall 15, won against the far rail. So, I mean, I think they've got. I think anything that decides to stay over this year, to stay over onto the near side, has got no chance. That's the way I'm looking. And that's the way I'm punting it.
How many times have we seen it actually go across, even from
21, whatever he is.
Yeah, I mean, look, and also the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Last 10 years, the only horses to win from single figure draws, they've all been 3-year-olds. They've all been group horses in their time, and they've all gone immediately to the Sprint Cup next time out. Cardem went to Haydock, went up 9-2 co-favourite. Dancing Star was well beaten. Magical Memory finished third. But Dancing Star went off 7-1. So look, it all looks there for Hammer the Hammer, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
But it's still a 20-odd runner.
We haven't seen him since Ascot, but all we know about him since Ascot is the trainers decided to put him in a Group 1.
Yeah.
Can't be a bad sign, can it?
No.
And we know that he's probably better over 6 than he is of 5. And they've said before they were worried about how fast the ground was at Ascot going into that race. It's not going to be soft tomorrow. I'd imagine it'll just be good, but it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So I just think he's going to have everything in his favour. You know, it might be boring, but I don't. You know, he won't be bored when he wins.
Well, and also, I mean, I remember the one good, like I said, I backed two horses properly in this in the past 10 years. One was Great Ambassador, who I thought was the game was a group horse in a handicap, which kind of was. And the other one was Cardem. And I can remember looking at him thinking,
I think it's going to come from, I think the winner's going to come from the far side. And I don't actually fancy many others on that side.
No.
And that's the thing. And I'm looking, you know, if they do split and he's got a smallish field to beat.
Anyway, well, let's not get too myopic with this, I think.
So let's just
mention, I mean, first off, like I said, Comanche Falls in 7, really strong finisher at this track, unbeaten. I do think I'll be having a little bit on him at bigger prices.
Yeah, I think Puro Sangre didn't like really fast ground when favourite last year, and he's got a low stall. I can imagine that he will run well.
Well, I mean, he is a group horse in a handicap here, isn't he? Especially on soft ground. I mean, he was second to Big Evs in the Malcolm. On soft ground a couple of years ago, and he is very much a horse who can put it up to these on soft ground. Again, it's another big Saturday race. It's Andrew Balding again. Other ones I'm not entirely sure about. Elman Jed, I prefer him at the Ebor meeting, I think, maybe again in that six furlong handicap.
I think one day his attitude's going to come and get him. And therefore, he's maybe not the sort of horse I wanted back turning around a week later. I mean, he's obviously got form claims. I think there's loads interesting on that side as well. Keogh says he doesn't fancy many. Like, completely random's going to love chasing John Electrics.
Well, I was going to mention that one.
And, yeah, he's got a wee chance. I backed him in the Wokingham and thought he ran pretty well. Puro Sangre, I put him up for this race a little bit when he ran last time and thought he had a right chance here, and he's been drawn in among the pace. It's just, it's top to bottom. I mean, I think Strike Red's on the wrong side, but he ran a properly good trial for a race like this last week at York. But I just think he's going to be in the wrong place. But if that assumption's wrong, then he's a big player. It's, I think the elephant in the room a little bit with this race is, if it's not as simple as Hammer the Hammer wins, then it's genuinely the toughest race of the year.
So again, is he back into win lame to place a bit Hammer the Hammer? Because he either destroys them again, or he burns out and gets swamped, potentially. One more before we move on. There's a horse here rated 107, who the last time he was in a handicap was back in September 2023 from Ogva 106, and he won the Portland. And then 12 months before that was his other handicap run, and he won at Lingfield from Ogva 101. And he's been running in Group 1s and Group 2s and Group 3s, and that's Anaf.
Well, he was the best horse in a Group 3 two starts ago, wasn't he?
Yes, behind Chip Chase. Harry. Yeah.
How he got to within a neck of that horse, having given him 4 or 5 lengths, was pretty incredible.
Please, please.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I backed him as well, Q. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, yeah, I was just saying. Well, sorry, the horses that I'd be interested in backing all on the high side. The other horses that I'd be interested in, where he was one of them. Apollo One's another one.
Yeah.
He's just a fantastic horse, isn't he? Like,
Well, I mean, I was going to say he's a joy to own, apart from the fact that
he doesn't win. He doesn't win very often. And there was one, and Strike Red. Yeah, I mean, Strike Red is on my list. I mean, he might be back and winning in the autumn at York again. But he's definitely,
that's exactly what I'll be doing with him.
Or if he goes on his travels and runs at the Curragh or something, because he's won there before, I believe. So, definitely looking at those. But they're all drawn high, and the ones I wanted to back drawn low. There was only one of them, and that's Hammer the Hammer.
All right, so Hammer the Hammer's nailed on for everyone potentially. Hammer, but your second selection is, or your backup.
My backup. At the prices, you've mentioned it already, just because it's drawn low, is Comanche Falls.
All right, okay. He's also my backup as well. Keith?
My backup's actually Puro Sang, who's second favourite, which is really, really boring. But, you know, I'll be backing completely random, potentially for places, and I might also have a small place bet on Orazio as well, because I don't think he's turned up in so many of these big handicaps. They've all been on fast ground apart from this Stewards Cup 2 years ago when he was 130 favourite, but it shouldn't have been run. It was waterlogged. So he's not had a go on sort of soft side before in these big handicaps, and that might be the thing.
He will he'll win the Diamond Jubilee in 2 years or something, won't he? Something bizarre like that. All right, quickly on the chat. Alza here is my favourite, says Robert Blackburn. Prometheus is giving Apollo One another go. Twilight Falls, don't give up on him, says Prometheus. Hammer the Hammer 2 for Lee of Richardson. And Drama Each Way, says Theo Bursnell. All right, here's a bit of DJ to cleanse the palate after that Goodwood preview with a bit of Galway.
Hi, Ross. One last hurrah for me at Galway on Saturday. And we kick off in the 2:37. This is a race, actually, that was switched from Friday to Saturday at Galway, so they've changed the roster a little bit at Ballybrett. This is the Boyle Sports Galway Tried Handicap Hurdle, and I like Tallstone for Emmett Mullins and Donna Myler. I think it could be a good Saturday for Emmett Mullins. Well, I'm hoping so. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Tallstone was a big fancy for the Connacht Hotel Handicap on Monday night, but just got caught way out of his ground, too much to do, and proved a little bit disappointing. But he's back over hurdles off a mark of 116 in the 2:37. Moving on to my strongest fancy of the day, and that is in the 3:12. It's the Boyle Sports Handicap Hurdle. Loads of prize money here. This is a fairly lucrative event. And this time I'm sticking with Emmett Mullins, but not with the one you might expect. Teed Up is obviously going to be a leading fancy here, a winner earlier on in the week at Galway. But I really like last year's second, So Scottish. And one final one for you in the 5:00, Stay in the Game for Shark Hanlon and Gavin Ryan. Stay in the Game is having his first run for the stable. Last seen at Redcar, finishing second to Serenity Blue. And you might say that form was let down by Serenity Blue at Goodwood earlier on this week, but Serenity Blue was absolutely butchered up the home straight. And I still think that's a decent form line in the context of this maiden. It's not a good maiden. Actually, I'll rephrase that. It's a terrible maiden. And Stay in the Game is rated 79. I think that could be good enough to take this. If he repeats his final run for the Quins, I think that would be good enough. So Stay in the Game in the 5 o'clock.
Thank you, DJ. Okay, that's a bit of Galway. Let's go back to Goodwood then for the last three races of the Glorious Festival. Starting off with the 3:45, this 7 furlong handicap again. I mean, you look at this and you think the Stewart's Cup is piece of cake in comparison, don't you? 5-1 Mudbeer, Yamobi there is 11-2, Consolidation 7s, El Matador 7s, Headmaster 8s, Montpellier 12s, Dancing the Storm 12s, Andesite 16s, and loads of others in here again. Oh, we've got so many notes on horses from in this race, from good races. Some as a 2-year-old, but plenty of them from 3-year-old races. And no real surprise, though, to see Mudbeer as favourite, given this is a Gosden horse in the Shadwell silks off the back of a handicap debutant win at Sandown last time out, where it was a good time, it's good form, well bred as you would expect. Yeah, it's got all the hallmarks of well backed and well fancied. And box one, 7 furlongs, actually probably not a bad place to be. But God, there's loads in here.
There is loads in here. Yeah. It's just a half product of Moster Daff.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So the pedigree's there, all right. We were at Sandown when he won that race. And we actually thought that the horse in the race was an absolute good thing, didn't we? And it finished fourth.
Yeah.
And it's back in the field now, Dancing the Storm. And we were looking at it earlier. She just got in the wrong place at the wrong time, didn't she?
She fell out of the boxes and she was keying at the back. And so, yeah, I knew my bet had lost after a furlong, but she ran a blinder.
Yeah, she ran a blinder because they went hard early and then she went for home early, which is the worst thing you could possibly do. I think she's a lot better than that. She's got stall 14, which is a bit of a worry. Other one I looked at, actually the one I came closest to tipping, and I ended up dipping out of this in the paper, was Andesite. And lo and behold, I just look out and see what Tom Siegel's tipped for price wise, and he's tipped Andesite. I couldn't believe it. Stall 5, obviously you're going with the low draw, the tighter bend on the Friday and Saturday. So you've got the draw. I mean, she was obviously rated pretty highly by Carl Book last year, ran in group races. She was going to run in at Royal Ascot, was pulled out, I think.
Yeah, she was like second favourite for the Albany, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah, she was, yeah. And then didn't she run in... he ran in the Gimcrack.
Not the Albany, Coventry.
And he ran into it, didn't show much, and it hasn't really worked out for him. He has been nearest to the finish both his last two runs, looking like he wants further, but he also races very keenly, which is why I dipped out of it in the end, because I thought if he does, he won't get home. But yeah, there's plenty in this race that can win this. You know, my tentative selections would be Andesite or Dancing the Storm. You can certainly see the cases for others. I mean, obviously, Rafe Beckett's in really, really good form. El Matador... it depends on what you think about our handicapper. Doesn't rate his two wins very highly at all. Has it a lot lower than the official handicapper does.
I'd be fair. I mean,
I reckon those races are impossible to rate high with how slowly they were run.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I can
imagine so. And you don't like put big figures on slow run races, do you? Because it's
you can because it'll be complete rags. Yeah, there's complete rags that'll get given big figures otherwise.
And
so what? So again, this is almost in the too hot to handle kind of category, isn't it? I think.
I find it very hard. I mean, there's a quote from Richard Spencer about Yarmo B there. I mean, he obviously thinks he's a group horse and he's running off 99.
But you could say that about seven horses here, maybe.
So yeah, it's quite possible, isn't it? It's a 3-year-old handicap, isn't it? And there could be loads making their way to Australia afterwards.
Hong Kong, at least.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. But if I was going to have a bet, it would be Andesite and Dancing the Storm.
Okay, yeah. I'll have to back Dancing the Storm at double figures because I thought she would win at 94, less than that at Sandown. The only concern I have is that she is related to the Stewards' Cup winner of a few years ago, and she might just be a very, very speedy horse. She showed, like I said, pace last time out. She is a key and go. It might well be that dropping back to six is the making of her. And then the only other race I was quite interested in is that Prince of India race from Newmarket, which looked an absolute banger, didn't it? And Andesite was in that, but also Columnist and Halasan, who've both got low draws and are both up in trip here. So it was Dancing the Storm, Columnist and Halasan would be my shortlist for this, Keith. But again, absolutely rock hard unless you've got something up your sleeve.
Well, as in the Stewards, it's like the Stewards Cup in the sense that you can look at it as being really hard, but I mean, El Matador's been setting off the good horse alarm for me. He's been sent off odds on for all three runs. The two runs that he's won at Salisbury, his finishing speed percentage was 113%, which tells you why he only put a head into C. Baid. And then he's run at Chepstow last time, and he just looked a completely different order to these horses. He's up against C. Poetry was second, has only run since, but it was in the Sandringham at Royal Ascot, you know. So obviously a well-regarded horse that he beat that day. The rating that the BHA have put on him is punchy, but he's from a good family. This Snazzy Jazzy, I think, is the good half sister. She was a listed sprint winner in softer ground. Ross Castle, a Group Three winner on softer ground. You know, it's a group class pedigree of horses that all go on softer ground. He's by Newbay as well. He's got a lovely big long stride. He just strides out like a proper horse. And I think he's going to be a 100 horse plus at some point. You know, because it's so competitive and because it's not sprints, which are, you know, my precinct during the flat season, I won't be having a big bet. But El Matador just looks like a horse that is definitely going to be quite a bit better than his mark. So I'll have a bet on him.
Okay. There's a couple of red flags from his novice wins. I thought that you might tell me that's a load of bull. I don't know. All right, okay. Last couple of races then. Let's rattle through them. 4:20, we've got a maiden over 7 furlongs. Again, it's going to throw up a nice horse. Which one is it going to be? Probably Isaac Newton at 5-6. Exclusive code at 100-30. Corrin 13-2. Line of Elba 11-1. 12-1 ghost mode. And then 16-1 and bigger the rest. Anything stand out to you here, Keith, in 60 words or less?
Corinth's price is the only thing that stood out. I thought ran 12-1 in that 5-runner race at Sandown. Four of them were Godolphin or Judmont, and was going to finish second this horse until the last 50 yards. So he's from by Dubawi, family of Kingman, going to be a lot better than this. He's in at sevens, but I'd have him easily Isaac Newton's main danger, and so the prices are wrong for me.
All right, fair enough. And Keels?
I think the favourite will probably win, but Lion of Alba was absolutely clueless first time up at Newbury and ran on really strongly at the end, and Hugo Palmer's absolutely flying. So I might have a couple of quid each way, just for a bit of fun.
All right, but fair enough.
Nothing serious.
Couple against the field then. And the final race of Glorious Goodwood 2025 is a 9 furlong handicap here. It is a crackerjack as well. 18 maximum field here. Gladius 5-2. Treasure Time 7-2. Alpha Crucis 13-2. Boyfriend 15-2. Toy Me Son is 9-1. Indilo 12s of Whipcracker and 16s bar those. First three in the betting are drawn 13, 12 and 11 here, which again, if this 9 furlong race goes the same way as the Golden Mile, will be quite difficult. Doesn't always, though. Often this is a bit of a strange one, isn't it? And they often come down the centre of the track. But again, it's the last race of the meeting, so no huge surprise there. But you've got Gladys, who dotted up last time out, obviously hoping that Ratio get a big run out of Treasure Time. Hoping to try to get him up two Royal Ascot races, didn't get into those. Pulled out the Golden Mile yesterday. And he's might well be the Clipper handicap at York is his perfect run, but he's got to have a chance for Haggis and Marquand tomorrow. But you quite like one, don't you?
Yeah,
wife,
I think.
But you fancy.
I think Boyfriend will win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get in there quickly.
Yeah, there you go. We got there in the end, yeah.
Yeah, he only went twice as a 3-year-old. The second one was here over a mile, and he should have won by half the track. And he got himself into all sorts of trouble. Absolutely roared home, looked really, really well balanced. I like that run. He's come out this year, he's had three runs. He's won Mycloud to a head at Newbury. He's won by a neck at Nottingham, and he got to the front way too soon when a length fourth to Dutch Decoy last time. I'm hoping Ryan Moore will produce him really late. I think he's well ahead of his mark if he's given the correct ride.
Yeah.
He got there travelling supremely well at Newmarket last time, just went there too soon. I think he's one of those horses with one run. And if it's produced at the right time, he'll win. I think he's a lot better than the mark of 88.
All right, and he's one running soft ground. He beat EBT's Guard in a handicap at Newbury, and he finished second the Golden Mile today off £6 higher than Boyfriend's off. So lovely stuff. Right, very quickly, Keith, in the last
Yeah, it's going to be another horse that's going to get played late, I think. It's got a good draw as well, Indolo, who I think is quirky, but he's got loads and loads of ability. He had absolutely no right to finish second at Hamilton behind a horse that got the run of the race. He was far too keen at Chelmsford, and then he won last week at Sandown. He hung right again under pressure. I think that's just him. He is a little bit quirky. But the turn of pace he showed to put that race to bed was quite something. He's got loads and loads of ability, and you can get a double-figure price for a horse running six in a race like this. He will need to get presented late, like Boyfriend, but I thought he was really interesting at double figures.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Melrose. Right, snaps coming up after this. Stewart's Cup Day at Glorious Goodwood. Best bet, starting off with the man to my left, Mr. Paul Keeley.
I'm a hammer, man.
It's Hammer the Hammer for Mr. Keels, unsurprisingly. Mr. Melrose?
Hammer tide.
Does that mean as I am the MC, I should also agree
with
Hammer the Hammer?
You need to be doing... You need to do a little dance, yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna go to Thirsk. How's that? The horse I'm most looking forward to tomorrow is Big Leader for Jeff Aldroyd at the 440 at Thirsk. I think he's a monster. Can't wait to see him. As for Goodwood, I think Goody Two Shoes might well win the Lily Langtree. Right, that's us done for Glorious Goodwood. It's been quite the week. Plenty to talk about, to think about, and to filter out over the next weekend or so. But we'll be back for the Ebor meeting, and we're back up north for a bit of York. Don't forget, like, subscribe, comment. See you there.